therapist with Travis Garrison on the Field of 6 Day Networks. Got a special guest with me today, Mr. Ryan McFadden from the Baltimore Sun. How you doing, sir? How you doing?
Doing good, man. Doing good. Just busy, but, you know, enjoying life.
Absolutely, man. I definitely appreciate you taking time with your day to join me to talk about some Terrapin basketball, man.
Yeah, like Maryland's off to a 3-0 start. You look at this team. I personally like this team. They have a lot of depth. It's be exciting to see how they develop over the course of the year. Like one thing we did notice, like, you know, their first half offensive struggles is kind of concerning, particularly with the 3-point shooting. I believe I saw they're shooting 23% through three games, but it's still a Turgeon type team, defense heavy. And like I said, they got the size back, unlike they had last year. But I think it's gonna be an interesting year.
How do you compare this team to the previous teams? I know you mentioned defense, of course, but and compared to Turgeon's previous teams, how do you compare this team to that? Like, where do you see this team going? Like, what's your prediction so far? I know it's still early, but what are some of your predictions of this season so far?
Man, this is funny. I was thinking about this before I hopped on. It's like, I don't know. It's like, I do like this team better than last year. And one particular reason is because of the size in the front court. So you have Q and you have Julian Reese. And like, when you're in the Big Ten, like, you need size. Like Dante Scott was able to hold his own last year. But when you're going against Hunter Dickinson of Michigan, Kofi Coburn, at Illinois, EJ Liddell at Ohio State, Trayvon Williams at Purdue, you're going to need some size on the defensive side of the ball and even on offense. And like having Q and Julian just helps them out so much in regards to that. Then you have to, because not only it helps on the defense, but it helps offensively as well. Because right, if defense have to worry about Q and Julian dominating the low post, that's going to open the floor for all your wing guys like Eric, Dante, Fats. And then so it just creates a lot more. It brings so much more to that offense. It's just for them now, it's like they need to take advantage of it. Like I said, they have not shot the ball incredibly well throughout these three games. But if they can put it together, that's going to be interesting. But, yeah, I do think this team is a lot better. One thing I would say, for a while, I would say this is one of the deepest teams I've seen in a while. I'm not talking about talent. I'm just talking about depth, where like you have a team where it's like, you look at this roster and you got like 8 to 9 guys on a rotation that can come in and make some form of impact. And like I said, there's still guys on that team that who are not even getting minutes. As much minutes throughout this stretch, that still, to me, I like, and it has potential moving forward.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, man. Obviously, you know, they lost a couple of key pieces, but like you said, so what do you think about the transfers, the new transfers coming in, you know, obviously with Fats and, you know, the transfer from Georgetown, like what do you think about, you think, you know, is it a big help or is, you know, this, you know, it's okay.
I would say it's a big help. I'm a huge Fats Russell fan. I watched some of his game when he was at Rhode Island. In fact, when he was in the NCAA tournament in 2018, I forgot whether that was his freshman or sophomore year. I do not recall. When he played against Oklahoma, that was my first time seeing him in person. And he stood out to me back then. And that was earlier in his collegiate career. He's just a pesky defender. Super quick. And it's funny, like, he was quick back when he was at Rhode Island, but seeing it in, like, live in action is crazy. Like, in that hope mode, the way he just gets up and down the court is incredible. And that's going to help out the Terps a lot because he brings, like, a true point guard to that team. And like we saw last year, we saw Erica Isla and Akeem Hart, you know, split the role as that dominant ball handler. But now you got Fats there, who's obviously he's their primary ball handler, and he's going to be running that offense. And that also allows Erica Isla to play more of that two guard role, and he can play off the ball, which will help him a lot as well. And like I said, it helps out the offense tremendously. But yeah, then Q, like I think going into the season, we knew We know what Q was going to bring. We saw what he did with Patrick Ewing at Georgetown. Like I said, a dominant low post guy, a guy who's gonna block shots, get rebounds. I think that's going to help Maryland a lot, especially generating offensive rebounds and keeping possessions alive. So those two guys I like. Ian Martinez is another guy I like. I think he still has more to show. However, from what we have seen through three games, he has a lot of defensive versatility. With his size and length. Not only that, he also shows some playmaking abilities as well, making mm-hmm. some plays in transition. So those are three guys that I like. But yeah, Fats is a guy. When they acquire Fats, I like, man, this guy is gonna be good. And just through three games, you can tell like this man's gonna be. And I think he's gonna be a fan favorite. I'll say this: when we get to the end of the year, I think Fats is gonna be a fan favorite in College Park.
I can see that. I had him on the show about a couple of weeks ago, and just having a conversation with him, you know, with his personality, and then obviously the way he plays, and you know, obviously with defense, you know, and his energy, you know, obviously the College Park fans love those type of guys, and that could bring that energy, you know. So yeah, like you said, man, definitely I can see him being a fan favorite. Let's rewind a little bit, real quick, man. So you just started working with the Baltimore Sun, correct?
Yes.
So how was that process been for you? And then how did you get to cover the Terps and, you know, Maryland basketball? How did that all come about?
I want to say this. I would say life is crazy, man. I'll put it out there because literally back in May, I'm literally at grad school, you know, on a Zoom class at the University of Maryland trying to get my master's degree. And now we jump into November and I'm covering Maryland men's basketball, Maryland football, and the Baltimore Ravens as my first job in this journalism industry. And it's just been an incredible experience. I started full time in September 5th. However, I've been with the Sun since June I was an intern, and they decided to keep me here for long term. But yeah, it's been crazy, man. Like I love every last bit of it. I tell people all the time, like, I've been afforded a great opportunity to just to come out of college to be able to cover a pro football team. Not any pro football team, it's the Baltimore Ravens, and they have one of the best football players out in the game right now, Lamar Jackson. And not only that, I'm covering a Division I basketball and football program. So it's been a grateful opportunity. I would say this, like, it's been busy. So I'm not going to lie, because, you know, obviously, like, you're alternating between different sports on a weekly basis. And it's like you got to, like, it's like a mental switch. So, like, Saturdays you're at the Maryland football game, then, like, you got mentally switched to NFL, then boom, after NFL is done, you got mentally switched to Terps. So it's like constantly, like, switching gears basically each and every day. But yeah, it's been fun. Like, I always say I'm still trying to get some form of comfortability with it. But obviously that comes with being the new guy in town. But yeah, it's been great. I look at it like it just showing all the hard work I've done over the years since I started doing journalism back in high school at DeMatha has paid off. And I've just been grateful for this opportunity.
Hold on, man. You're a DeMatha guy too?
Yes, sir. Yes, class of 2015.
That just changed this whole interview, man. That just you know, I'm class of 02, man.
Oh, crap. Wow, man. Get out of here.
Yeah, man. I'm class C. That just changed this whole dynamic of this interview, man. That just changed this whole dynamic. Yeah, man. I'm class of 02.
Man, that's crazy. Yeah, man. I love the math, man. Like, those are some good years. That helped me jumpstart my journalism platform. I got a crazy story because this is how it all started. I tried out for the JV basketball team my sophomore year at DeMatha. And literally, it's literally the most embarrassing moment of my life. However, it's the moment like I realized I need to become a journalist is because doing suicides, I passed out doing suicides. Yes, and I don't know what I was thinking going into that tryout. Like, everyone, like, at DeMatha, when you go into DeMatha, everyone wants to try for the basketball team, if you're good or not. Right. It's like right. just if you can make that basketball team, it's like you made it in a sense because you absolutely. You know how the math. So yeah, so I tried out sophomore year for the JV team, and man, I was nervous that whole time. I was making so many mistakes. I didn't know what I was thinking. And we got to the suicides, and we just kept running and running, and then we stopped. And mind you, at the time, the coach was Coach Corey, and this man is he was tough. Oh my God, Coach!
That's my best friend,
Coach Corey. I used to watch him when he used to coach the freshman team, and then he moved up to JV. I'm like, this dude is tough. Like I remember, like going to games and like he be telling the players. Mind you, these are players who made the team, and like these are some good athletes. And he said, "Oh, you guys are not in shape. You guys are not in shape." I'm sitting here, I'm like, "They more in shape than me. Like, what else they need to do, right?" So I'm like, so going back, and I saw that as a freshman, he was on a freshman coach. So when I said, "All right, I'm trying out for JV, and I might not have to deal with Coach Corey because he's doing the freshman side." That same year, they moved him to JV. I said, "Oh crap." Said, "Oh man, I don't know what I'm getting. I didn't know what I was getting myself into." And during that tryout, he kept saying to guys that I knew was making a team, "You guys are not in shape. You guys are not in shape. You guys are not ready." So all of a sudden, we all get on the line. And we start just running. It's on that clock, right? Uh-huh. So, and all of a sudden, he took one of the players out and he said, "All right, if he makes his free throw, y'all get water. If you don't, y'all run it again."
Right.
I forgot his name, but he bricked the free throw so bad. I said, like right then and there, I said, "Yeah, I'm done. I can't do this no more." So we ran up, we come back, and then I remember I just fell on the ground. And I think one of the guys who tried out literally had to drag me off to the side, and I had to get to the, and then I forgot, was it Wendy that was there that helped me? I think it was Wendy who was there, and mm-hmm. she was giving me water. And I'm like, then she said, "All right, take some of this water so you can get back out there." I'm looking at her like, "What do you mean?" Like, she said, "Drink some water so you can get back out there." I was like, "What do you mean? I'm trying to get back out here on this court. Like, I'm done." But yeah, so from that moment on, I said, "Yeah, this basketball thing is not for me. Like, I'm gonna still be a fan, but however." My parents were saying, "Ryan, you're a junior. You're going to your junior year, and you need something to put on your college resume." Right. And I said, "Yeah." I said, "Okay, cool." And like, "What clubs are you into?" I said, "Well, there's not a lot of clubs I was interested in, right?" So then she said, then my mom and dad said, "Ryan, you like to write, so why don't you join a newspaper and you could just do sports?" And because at that time, I'm a huge DC sports fan. I'm watching sports all the time. I come home, I'm watching PTI with Mike, Tony Kornheiser, Michael Wilbond. And at 6 o'clock, I watch the Sports Center. 7 o'clock, I'm watching whoever the Wizards are playing. So I was really into sports at a young age. At the same time, I love to write. Like, I write in my journal, short stories, whatever. So I said, "All right, cool." So I got into the Matt the Stag line because I took the new journalism class with Mr. Carroll. And from there, it was like, I wrote my first story on the basketball team. And then like Mr. Carroll was so impressed with the story. And like, I'm looking at him, I'm like, "Oh wow. Like, are you serious?" And he's like, "Yeah." And like, I just took it from there. And like, yeah, I use the math as an advantage to help me out because it's like, you go to that school, you're surrounded by some of the top athletes, not only in the area, in this Maryland area, but in the country. So it's like, if I can talk, like I'm talking to Markelle Fultz, I'm talking to like all these guys, the Anthony McFarlands and these guys that are there, they're in the lunchroom. So I started doing that and I never looked back. But yeah, those the math days were fun and just, and they were funny. Like I still talk to a lot of my best friends today, went to the math that we still talk and hang out. And they still talk to about that time I passed out. But yeah, I love that school, man.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Corey just called me, matter of fact. But yeah, man, it's I tell everybody that haven't been to the Matha or experienced it about the brotherhood. You know, it's a real thing. You know, it's people I meet to this day that's older than me that'll be like, you know, they introduce themselves as they say their name and they say, "Oh yeah, I'm the Matha class of 88 or class of 94 like, so it's literally, man, you just never know who these guys are or what field they're in, because we're everywhere, literally in every industry. And I know, obviously, you're in journalism, so you know about James Brown, and I'm pretty sure you follow him and all the amazing things that he's done. So has he kind of like influenced you in some way, or like?
I would say this: the person who's probably coming out of the Matthews of Journalism as a journalist who has influenced me the most is David Aldrich. Because he's into the writing aspect as well. And I'm just looking at this man. It's like, this man was literally taught by Mr. Carroll. He walked down the same hallways as me, and he's on NBA 2, and he's on NBA 2K. And he's writing for NBA.com. He's sideline reporting for Turner. Now he's like the editor for the Athletic DC. And I'm like, man, if he can do it, I always tell people, I'm not trying to follow a particular person and how they live their career, because I think everyone has their own career path. But I look at certain people and I just, as a sense of motivation, like, if you were sitting in the same classrooms I was, that mean, and you got to where you are, there's no telling where I can go in my career and what I want to do. But yeah, that's one guy I look up to in particular, because he spoke it when I used to go to journalism camp at the University of Maryland. The summers after my junior and senior year at DeMatha, University of Maryland had a sports journalism camp I would go to. And he used to speak there. And he would speak. And I'm looking to like, man, like, if he did this and he's coming from the same high school I came from, like, there's no telling what I can do. I'm not right. saying we're gonna be the next David Aldridge. That's not my goal, but it's like, it's just a sense of inspiration that these people, these journalists were in the same positions you were at 16, 17 years old. And this is how their life turned out, because they were so dedicated to their craft and just worked hard. And like, if they can do it, then man, the sky's the limit for myself. And that's how I approach everything.
Absolutely, man. I tell people all the time, you know, we have so many examples, especially just like you said, just coming out of the math, we have so many different examples from all walks of life in regards to careers that you can point out. And, you know, we kind of got the same makeup in a sense, because we was raised the same in the sense of that the high school, like gentleman and a scholar, like the way we was raised and the teachers that taught them taught us. And yeah. It's the pedigree, man. I tell people all the time, it's different, you know, and some people don't like it, but you know, we different, bro. We're in a different class, you know?
Yeah, it's different, and it's crazy, because I be everywhere, man. It's like, I remember when I was at DeMatha, I be going to the airports, and I have a DeMatha t-shirt, right? And people would stop me. I'm like, you go to DeMatha? I'm like, yeah. And it'd be like some alumni saying, yeah, I was in the class of 75 or 60 this. I'm like, dang, mm-hmm. like, what you doing in Florida, man? It's like, I remember going to New York, when I went to undergrad at Iona College in University of New York, and mm-hmm. I used to walk around with like DeMatha stuff. And he was like, yeah, you go to the math. I was like, yeah. I'm like, bro, I'm like, wow, like even here in this small town in like New Rochelle, New York, people know about my high school and like talking about it. And then I remember like I'd be in classes, right? And they says, and they'd be like, Ryan, like I'd be have classes at Iona. And like people would say, Ryan, why Ryan got like this type of mentality, this approach, and like how is he always like so comfortable interviewing certain people? And they're like, and then like people have to run, like he went to the math. I'm like, yeah, and like it's common to just walk down the hallways and you see like a future number one overall pick in mm-hmm. the NBA draft. Like that's how it is. It's right. It's different. I always tell people it's a different experience. It's like, and you come across so many different so many people from different walks of life. And at the right. end of the day, like no matter where they have gone in their career, like at the end of the day, like there's still these, I still look at them as these guys that were eating in the cafeteria, eating Three Brothers pizza. That's how I look at it. So it's like I look at the Chase Youngs and like the Markelle Fultz and all the other guys who are in the NFL and the NBA, and they're treated like these big stars as they should. But I'm sitting here looking at my TV. I'm like, man, I remember like 4 years ago, this guy was eating chicken tenders and fries in the cafeteria. Or you would see him. You see him in, with Miss Phelan getting tutored. And it's just like, I just look at them so differently. And like, even ask my friends who went to the math, it's like, we look at them so differently where other people are looking at these superstars. I'm like, man, I was here walking the hallways with you. I remember you, I remember some of these guys getting in trouble with like Mr. Gardner or Mr. Rogers because they had like their tie wasn't on right, or they mm-hmm. the blazer like the collar wasn't straight or something like that. But yeah, it's crazy, man.
Now, absolutely, man. I tell people quick story, man. Like I was coming into DeMatha. I didn't really know a lot about DeMatha before I went there. My oldest brother, he played at Mac, remember, he was 9 years older than I was. And back when he was playing in high school, I didn't have no interest in basketball like that. But I go to DeMatha. I'm like the number two player in the country as an eighth grader. So I'm going there thinking I'm the man, you know, like I'm this guy walking in. So I'm walking the hallways, man. I see a guy that's 6'9". Then I see a guy that's 6'10". See another guy that's 6'10". Another guy that's 6'11". Another guy that's 7'2". Then you got Keith Bogans that was there. He was the number one player in the country. You got Joe Forte that's there. He's the number four. Then you got this a sophomore who Jordan Collins was the number 10 player. So it was like they didn't care who I was because they had all these top players in the country. And they were number one at the time when I went there. They were number one in the country. So it was a reality check, man. It put me back in my place. But I tell people all the time that the way DeMatha is either you're going to step up to that level in regards to everything, in regards to the competitiveness, the schooling, what's asked of you, or you're just going to get lost. I've seen a lot of guys transfer out, you know, because they can handle it. I mean, it's different, and people that don't go there, they don't really understand it. But I try to explain the best way I can. But it's either you step up to the plate, or you're just going to get lost in the shuffle. Yeah. And it happens a lot.
Yeah, I would say this, like I said, I'm not the guy who was on the basketball team or the football team in there, but when you're around that environment, and like I said, like especially when I start doing like journalism and you're interviewing these guys and like actually focusing in like what the coaches are doing and what the players are doing, it's humbling, man. It's like I remember going into my freshman year at DeMatha, and you go in, I'm walking past Jeremy Grant, and this man's like, God, like 6'8". I'm like Jesus, and then you like had BJ Anya like just as tall as him. I'm like, man, this is crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, it's humbling because, like, think about it. I always bring it up with, like, Markell. Like, this man is the number one pick in the draft in 2016 or 2017, my bad. And he started off on the freshman team. Like, he really went through that whole freshman JV grind. It wasn't like – and I've seen guys who wasn't as good. They start. Mm-hmm. They jump right to varsity. But like this man had literally grinded his way. Like, and like I said, it's humbling because like I look at someone like Markell, he's probably looking on the varsity team like, man, like that, I'll probably be better than one or two of these guys. But he stuck it through. But yeah, that I'm the math that like when you're in that realm, it's humbling. And like you have to be ready to play. I'll say that. Like, you can't be lazy. I've seen like so many times. Like, I remember like going to the math, like, watching the math games, and Mike Jones, he would take a player out for body language. And I'm like, wow. And like, I'd be blown away. I'm like, it'd be body language. And he would just pull them out. Or like, for example, it would be a play. Let's say, I'm just throwing it out, like giving you a scenario. Like, he would miss a free throw, and like his just demeanor on the court just changed after he missed that free throw. Or he turned over the ball and Jones would just take him out. I'm like, oh crap. Like,
right.
And it'd be times where like he'd be furious. I'm like, and like it'd be so furious. Like, I'd be in the stands, like I'd be scared. I'm like, Jesus. Like, right. I'd be shaking a little bit. But yeah, it's humbling, man. Like, they don't play. Like, you turn the ball over, you on the bench. You have your head down after you miss a three, boom, you on the bench. They do not care. And it's like, and the crazy part, they don't even care if you were the leading scorer, the top defender. Like, if you mess up or your demeanor ain't right, like, boom, you're on that bench. I'm like, wow, this is it's crazy. But at the same time, it's like that if you want to be the best in anything you want to do, I think it's like you kind of need that. So yeah, so it's like if you could, like I said, like you come to the math, and no matter what you do, it's just you gotta be ready, man. You just gotta be ready.
Absolutely. So how is it being the young guy on a team? Because Sicily, man, you on a team, you know, with the Baltimore Sun, you know, it's a team. How has it been the young guy? Like, is it they hard on you, or are you like the rookie of it? So they treat you a certain way. So how is that?
I won't say they're hard on me. I think it's like they're really understanding that. Like I said, like I'm only 24, So like, I think they understand like, oh, like I'm still new. I'm still learning. My editors are so like good at working with me. And like, you know, if I mess up on something, they're correcting me, giving me a lot of good positive feedback. Same with like on the Ravens beat, their head guy, Jonas Schaefer, like he comes in and helps me out a lot. And like, and gives me like he lends me some advice as well. It's like and they understand that as well. But like it's like it's crazy because I don't know, like when I'm at Maryland, because obviously because you're still dealing with like people who are still in college, so you guys use like your student media. So it's still like I'm more comfortable there, but when the Ravens, like, man, I'm literally like the youngest person in the press box, and it's like it's still taking some adjusting to, because you walk in there, I'm like, dang, I'm like I'm just, it's like it's hard to explain, but it's like it's crazy that it's like a crazy feeling being at Ravens press box or going to a Ravens practice, and like you're like the youngest person that's close to your age is the guy they're interviewing. Like Lamar, I think is 24, 25. I think it's 24. So we're both the same age, but besides that, everyone else is like more experienced, been around for like over like 18, 20 years. So it's like, man, it's like sometimes you got to like sit back and like, all right, you got to like realize that you're not there yet and respect that and just take it one step at a time. And that's something that I've been trying to do, because it's like, it can be hard because you look at the other reporters, whether at the Sun or the Athletic, ESPN, and you're like, man, they getting this story, doing this, they know that. They know stuff like they know stuff that happened 10 years ago off the top of their head. And like, I'm sitting here on my laptop researching this stuff. And they're able to like do things so quick in an instant. I'm like, man, you're trying to figure out, man, can I catch up to that? But also too, you got to understand, like they've been there for a while. Like they've been covering that's team for years. So some of that stuff is just boom, just comes off so easy for them. And you understand that I know like the more reps I get and the more mm-hmm. I keep writing and covering the teams, like it would get better. But yeah, it's been a different experience. It's been a completely different experience.
Absolutely. Hey, before we move on to talk some more Maryland basketball, let me tell you guys a little bit about our partners over at Bet Rivers Sportsbook. If you haven't signed up with Bet Rivers yet, now's the time, because they are offering a $250 match bonus for your first deposit. But what sets them apart is that they require just one playthrough to turn your bonus into cash money. With their new Rush Pay instant approval, withdrawing your winnings is safer, more secure, and more reliable. With the basketball season tipping off, get in on the action by going to BetRivers.com today or by downloading the Bet Rivers app. Must be 21 years or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. So, Maryland, so what you think they're going to do this year? What's your prediction? How far do they go?
This is another thing I've been thinking about for a while, like throughout the offseason, as this team was being structured together. They got a lot of new faces. Like I said, I think it's like 9 new players, 6 are transfers. So a lot of things we're out there to watch this year is about, can they get that chemistry and be able to come together? I think the fortune enough for them, like guys like Fats, Eric, Dante, they played together before. So that might help out a little bit. However, like when we look at this team, they're like I said, they have a lot of depth. They have a lot of size. I think for me, I think they are Sweet 16 at best. That's if everything goes right, everything starts clicking, and they can live up to the potential that I think everyone else sees around them. I think they're going to be a really good defensive team. I think offense is kind of my concern, especially like the shooting aspect. Because like, especially through these 3 games, but like I said, we're only 3 games into the season. So I don't know, like their shooting struggles that we have seen is something that's going to linger over the course of the season, or this is something like, you know, it just get into the groove. But yeah, I think when you look at this roster, and like I said, we look at the talent, we look at the size, and we look at the overall depth, I think the Maryland basketball team, I think they are a Sweet 16 team at best.
Sweet 16. That's not bad. I mean, I tell people all the time, you know, I get this question and I see it from both perspectives now because I don't play anymore, but I was a player. But when I talk to the fans and, you know, the alums that talk about the team, you know, obviously they want the championship. They want winning now. You know, they feel as though that Coach Turgeon has been there for a while, that we should go further, that, you know, he had enough time. Everybody knows the frustration there. But obviously from the player side, we know that once you throw players in the team, I was telling somebody before, I mean, you can take a hope. I mean, you get the, say, for example, Kentucky's of the world that have all these McDonald's All-Americans, but how many championships have they won? You know, so it don't matter how many good players you put on one team. It's all about chemistry. And like you said, three of those guys, they played together before. So like you said, that's going to help. It's all about chemistry. It's all about clicking. It doesn't happen right away. It's only a certain number of teams and players that can do that. The Boston Celtics done it when the big three joined them. Obviously, because those guys are very experienced and they knew their roles going in. KG knew to take the back seat. He knew his role. He said, look, this is Paul's team. Ray know his position. Everybody knew their position. But when you're young and you're coming on, you got a new coach and you got new players coming in from different roles. They're trying to click. Like you say, I think obviously the first part of the season, they're trying to figure it out in regards to playing with each other on the road, playing in the comp, in Xfinity Center, the offense. And then second half will be a more of a telltale, especially when they're more into the Big Ten play and, you know, get to face those guys and see what happens. So, I mean, Sweet 16 is not bad. I think, you know, the fans want more. I understand that too. But, you know, we shall see. They're looking good so far. Obviously, some things need to be worked on. And I think they will happen. I think Coach Turgeon can, you know, turn things around in that sense of regards to getting the identity. And then obviously to feel what players and what guys do, what do best and how to, what mixture to put on the court at the same time in certain situations. So, I mean, it's a patience thing, but some people don't want patience. They want it now. Whereas, you know, players on the court can understand the process of it all and the coach understands the process of it all. So,
yeah. And one thing you mentioned is like, I think that veteran presence is going to help as well. It's like, especially in the tournament, a lot of those teams that do make it deep are a lot of teams with a lot of experienced guys on the roster. And I think you look at Maryland, even those like their top transfer guys, there is a lot of transfers, but like Fats and Q, they're experienced guys. So it's like you're at it. It's not like when they went to the transfer portal, they were adding a bunch of like, you know, sophomores or players who just played 1 year. They added up guys with experience. Right. So I think that's going to help out as well in terms of from the mental standpoint and handling those big time games. And especially when you get to the tournament, you're going to need that. I think one thing I always say, I always talk to people who have friends at Maryland about that team in 2019, 2020, the one that won that the Big Ten regular season, is something about that year felt like a missed opportunity because of COVID, because it's like they were riding with so much momentum going into the NCAA tournament. They had a lot of expectations for themselves. They ended that season with a win over Michigan. But it was like, I don't know, I just feel like I look back that year, I'm like, I don't know how far they would have gone, but it's like it was something about that team going into that to the NCAA tournament. Like, man, I would really like to see like what Anthony Cowan and Wiggins and Morsell and Jalen Smith could have done that year, because it was so much momentum going into like the Big Ten tournament and the NCAA tournament. It's like, man, I always think about that. I'm like, man, what could they have like?
They had a chance. They honestly, I believe that was the year that they had a real good chance of winning it. That wouldn't have been a surprise to people because, like you said, they weren't ready to ride a high. Yeah, they had some letdowns towards the end, but they had momentum coming back. And, I mean, it was like when that COVID thing happened, man, I was like, man, like that was the year right there. And I tell the fans, I said, look, they almost, if COVID didn't happen, that would have been another national championship right there, potentially, or even making it that far. That was the team right there.
Oh yeah, it's like I honestly it's still hard to look at like, oh, would this team have made it a national championship? But like, I think they could have gone in there with like some, like, with that discussion, and like, yeah, I think they could have made some noise. Yeah, Ant in his final year, I think, like, Sticks was playing, was averaging like a double, like, he's getting a double double almost every other game. It's just, it was something, it was just, I don't know, it's like it was just a special feeling about that team down the stretch, even like those times, like, even though they struggled at times, but like, there was a special feeling going into that, to that period. Like, man, it's like, it was like a missed opportunity. And I always think about that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Look here, Ryan, I don't want to hold too much more of your time, man. I really appreciate you taking time with your schedule to join the Go Terpins with Travis Garrison on the networks. Hey, man, I wish you the best of luck, you know.
Thank you so much.
All right, man. But hey, look, man, that's super dope, man. I really, that's good stuff, man. I'm happy for you, especially you, the Matthew brother, man. Like, come on, man. Hey, what should you expect, man? That's what happened. That's what we do, you know. So, man, like I said, man, best of luck, man. I look forward to reading your stuff, man. I know you'll do great because, you know, you're a Stag, man. So you have no choice. But I know you're going to do great, man. I look forward to reading your stuff, man. Obviously, probably bumped into you at some of the Maryland games. So, man, best of luck for sure.
Man, thank you so much. And thank you so much for having me. And like I said, go Stags. And that was crazy. I did not know, man. But it's dope.
Small world.
We're everywhere.
Absolutely, man. But thanks again, man, for joining, man. I appreciate your time, bro.
No problem. Thank you, guys.